Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music tonight. It's been a blessing all day long. What a tremendous blessing our special music has been today. Had great services this morning, and you could just sense the presence of God in our midst here. And then tonight, as we have an opportunity to come back, and just a blessing to be in church and to study the Word of God. And that's what we want to do at this time. If you have your Bibles, if you look with me to the book of Luke in chapter 12, Luke in chapter 12. Now, normally on Sunday nights, on a series, and actually going through the book of Revelation. And we'll be getting back into that in July. But the month of June, we want to stay focused on faith, promise, missions. And it's a stewardship month as well. And that's what it's all about, is being good stewards and being willing to give as God would have us to give and do our part in reaching the world with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so tonight we're going to be looking at Luke in chapter 12, and this is a parable of the steward and being a wise steward. And so if you'll stand with me, we're going to start reading in verse 35 and read down to verse 48. Luke chapter 12 and verse 35. Jesus says, "Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. And ye yourselves like unto men that wait for the Lord when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched, and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not." Then Peter said unto him, "Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us, or even to all?" And the Lord said, "Who then is that faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth, I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But and if that servant say in his heart, 'My Lord delayeth his coming,' and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and drink and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant which knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more." And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we do bow before you tonight, again, thank you, Lord, for the opportunities that you make available to us just to draw closer to you. Thank you for church. Thank you, Lord, for each and every one that's taken advantage of their opportunity to be here tonight and are here. And I just pray, God, that you would bless each one for their faithfulness to be in church. I pray, God, that you would use me once again tonight to bring forth the message that you have for your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, as we read this passage of Scripture, verse 35 through 41 tells us the reason for the parable. The parable given to us in verse 42 down to verse 48. The reason for the parable, verse 35, "Let your loins be girded about and your light burning." Every born-again believer, the Lord wants you to be the light of the world. He wants us to be a witness. He wants us to represent Christ, who is the light of the world. And we represent that light. As long as we're here in this dark world, we are to be the light of the world, the salt of the earth, and the light of the world. And so we know that. So he said, this is the reason for the parable. He first of all says, let your light, let your loins be girded about and your light burning. And then in verse 40, he says, be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh in an hour when ye think not. To be ready for the Lord's return. Now, there's been 2,000 years of Christianity. 2,000 years of Christians living their life to be ready for the Lord's return. It's 2,000 years ago, a little over 2,000 years ago, the Lord walked on the face of the earth, gave these instructions, went to the cross of Calvary. There he suffered, he bled and died, went to the grave, and then resurrected from the grave. After he resurrected, he showed himself to his disciples, the apostles, for 40 days and instructed them concerning New Testament Christianity. He told them about the church. He gave them insight into the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. He gave them instructions on how to live being Christ-like. Amen. So for 2,000 years, we have experienced Christianity because we are following after Christ. Now, before that, the Old Testament was pointing to Christ. It really was not Christianity. It could not be acknowledged as Christianity, even though they were looking forward to the coming of Christ. But then as Christ came, then he gave us a definite example of how God would have us to live until he returns. And that's this New Testament church age. So we've been in this New Testament church age for some 2,000 years. And for 2,000 years, Christians have lived their whole lives looking for his soon return. That's just the way that God instructed us to live. Now, I believe that he is going to, the time of his return is very close. And if it's not, we know that it is imminent. And so in our lifetime, every Christian that has lived since that time, who has lived their lives according to that principle and that commandment, has now experienced the blessings of God and understand more today than they've ever stood while they lived on this earth. The time that they lived on this earth, God had a purpose and a plan for every generation, for every Christian, and now they are enjoying, those that have been faithful and wise stewards are even today enjoying the blessings of their service to God. They will receive more later on, but right now they're receiving the blessings of their service to God, all that have lived the Christian life up to this point. And so a faithful and wise steward is one that he explains in verse 42 down to verse 44. He says, and the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward? Now, Peter asked him, are you telling us this for, is this just for us or is it for all people? And so now he's addressing his apostles. He's addressing his disciples. And he says, who then is that faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them the portion of meat in due season, when it's ready, when it's time? Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. And so the reason for the parable is given, and then he addresses that as the one who is doing this, doing the Lord's will, is a faithful and wise steward. Blessings in store for that individual. And then he addresses an unfaithful, an unwise steward. This is somebody who would be doing his own thing. Somebody who is not being the light of the world. Somebody who knows better, possibly, who is now rebelling from the Lord's will. Verse 45, but and if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming. Possibly doubt leads him to think, is he really coming back? Is there really a purpose in doing the Lord's will? And so we find here he's addressing that unfaithful and unwise steward, and it begins with his doubt concerning the delay of his coming. There's no doubt in the 2,000 years there have been generations and there have been Christians who have doubted his coming because they look at it and say, well, it's been 2,000 years. When's he coming? Is he going to come? Now, we have more reason, if you will, if you allow Satan to put this in your mind, to doubt because it's been the longest. This generation experiences the longest time yet, and the Lord has not returned as of yet. So Satan will use that in this generation. And he will use this in your heart and your mind if you allow him to. Well, it's been 2,000 years. If it was really true, he would have returned by now. So he addresses that. And he says to them, and this would be, he's already addressed the faithful and wise steward. Now he addresses the unfaithful and unwise steward. And he says, this is what will happen. He says, but if that servant say in his heart, it's going to come from within. And Satan's going to try to put thoughts in your mind, put doubts in your heart. My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat men servants and maid servants, and to eat, drink, and be drunken, or if you will, rebel against God. Do just the opposite that God would have you to do in living for him and serving God and being the light of the world and the salt of the earth. Now you're rebelling, and you're anything but the light of the world. The Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him. Can I tell you that I believe as we look back over the 2,000 years, the Lord didn't come, but that person's life was ended. And when that person's life ended, there was a time that he would have to face the reality of his Lord, the reality of heaven and hell, the reality of spiritual warfare. Everyone that's died now sees things very clearly. There's no doubt that there is a heaven, and there's no doubt that there is a hell in anyone's mind that has lived and died. No doubt. It's reality. And so he's helping us to see that. The Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, in an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him asunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. Well, Jesus wanted his disciples. Now, the reason for this parable, Jesus wanted his disciples of this church age, not only at this first century church age, but at this 21st century church age, Jesus wants his disciples to be blessed. That's why we have the parable of this steward. He wants them to be. Look at verse 37. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Blessed are those that believe it and are watching, are living as if he could come today. Blessed are they. It gives a different mentality. It gives a different perspective of how we live our life and why we do what we do. There is a God. He does care about my life. He is interested in every aspect of my life. He has a purpose for my life. And that is the best thing for me. I'm going to be blessed if I understand that. Verse 38, and if he shall come in the second watch or come in the third watch. Come in the first 5 years, the first 100 years, the first 1,000 years. The second 1,000 years, whatever the watch might be, if it's early, mid, or at the end of the watch. He shall come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so what? Being faithful and wise. What are they going to find? What is it? What does God say is going to be the reward for just living the way God wants them to live? Blessed are those servants. Blessed. It'll make a difference, and it has made a difference in every generation. Every generation of Christians that have lived for God have found the blessings of God in their life. For they have a purpose for their life. They have a meaning for their lives. And it has made a difference. So if you look on down to verse 43, blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Blessed. Verse 44, but if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, in verse 45, and he rebels, there's no blessing to that. There's going to be the judgment of God there. So, a faithful and wise steward. We can't have faith in something that we have no knowledge of. You can't put your faith in something that you have no knowledge of it. And we must have knowledge to be wise. Make sense? Now, he's the one that says it, faithful and wise steward. So we need to have the knowledge. And once we have the knowledge, we put our faith in that and we hold on to that. We keep our faith in that knowledge. And that's wisdom. That's wisdom. Putting it together. We hear the gospel. When you got saved, you heard the gospel. You heard somebody tell you that you were lost and on your way to a devil's hell, that Jesus came and the purpose for his coming was to pay a sin debt that you owed and could not pay. You heard that knowledge of the gospel. He was crucified, he buried, and he resurrected. Now you've heard that, and now you have to put your faith in that knowledge. Never lose sight of that. A person has to hear the gospel in order to put his faith in the gospel. And then as he puts his faith in the gospel, it's wise to live that. Amen. Now, the same with God's will for our lives. You can't put faith in something that we have no knowledge of. But when you have the opportunities to learn, when God opens a door in our lives to give us opportunities to learn, whether you learn it or not, you've had the opportunity, and you'll give an account for the opportunity you had to learn that knowledge. That's why he says, and the servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. There's a greater price to pay. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given opportunities, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much of him, they will ask the more. That's opportunities. So as God opens up opportunities for us, then we have to put faith in the knowledge that we have had the opportunity to receive. And then be wise in continuing to live by that faith. It would be very foolish not to. It would be very foolish once you've had that opportunity and you know the truth to turn away from that truth and try to go to something of a lesser truth. Can I tell you that I believe that if you have had the opportunity to be in a Baptist church where you have been taught the Word of God, which every time you open the doors and you know you come in, the Word of God is being presented to you, you understand this to be true, and you understand this is the will of God. It's straight from the Bible. To turn away from that, I believe that you're going to be more accountable because you've had a greater opportunity to know the truth. How somebody can actually become a member of a Baptist church and be taught the Word of God and then turn away from that truth, turn away from that gospel, turn away from those biblical understanding for a lesser, unbiblical direction. Listen to me. They are going to have a greater accountability than somebody that's never had the opportunity to hear the truth. Somebody that hadn't had the truth preached to them every time they walked through the doors. Praise the Lord for that, for those who remain faithful to it. You had the knowledge, put your faith in it, And the wisdom is to not turn away from it, but to continue to do it. As we know this to be the truth, it would be foolish not to do that. That's why if you look back to Luke chapter 12 with me, this actually led into this parable as well. He had just given the parable of the rich fool. Who had been blessed in his resources. And I mean, his fields were producing crop more than what he's able to put in his barns. And so his humanistic, worldly mindset, well, I'm blessed. I'm just going to build myself bigger barns. And I'm going to just take my ease. And I'm going to lay back and enjoy all that I have and not even care about what anyone else's needs are. Well, the Bible says in this parable, God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Faithful and wise steward. Can I tell you tonight that we must be faithful to God? We must be faithful to His Word. And we must be faithful to His church. And if we are faithful to God and we're faithful to His Word and we're faithful to His church, things that God has revealed to us and has given us opportunity to enjoy, you can have and will have the blessings of God. But it's dependent upon you being faithful and wise. So first of all, faithful to God's existence. Satan wants to try to tell you there is no God. Satan wants to try to tell you that it makes more sense to believe in evolution than it does in creation. That the church is just we've outlived its purpose. Or we can go ahead and let people have church, and it's for those that are weak-minded who need a crutch. That's the world's thinking. And that's exactly what Satan would love to blind the world to. But those of us that have been taught the truth, those of us that understand the truth, listen to me, we need to stand upon it. We need to be faithful to it. We need to be faithful to God's existence. And as every time we have an opportunity to tell somebody, He's alive. Creation is reality. God is real. Every opportunity we have to share that with the lost and dying world, listen to me, that is the light of the world. When Jesus came, what He wanted to do is He wanted to exalt the Father. He wanted to point people to an almighty Creator God that loved them enough to send Him, His only begotten Son, to pay a sin debt that the world owes, all humanity owes, and could not pay. And Jesus wanted to exalt the Father, and He tells us the very same thing as we live in whatever generation that God has placed us in, given us opportunity to be the light of the world, exalt the fact that there is a God. Yeah. Psalms in chapter 53 and verse 1. Psalms chapter 53. Am I living as if there is a God? Or have I turned to that unfaithful and unwise steward thinking, well, if there was, He had already come back by now. If He was real, then the world would be acknowledging the fact that He's real. Psalms chapter 53 and verse 1, the Bible says this, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Same way the fool who built bigger barns was not rich toward God because he didn't believe in God. He was focused on this world and the wealth and his own selfish comfort. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God, but it doesn't stop there. It says, corrupt are they and have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good. Outside of God, there is no good in mankind. Don't have to go too far. If you've been aware of what, look at the headlines of the paper and look what's taking place here in the city of Indianapolis. How sickening to exalt a sin that God reveals as being an abominable sin, a disgusting sin to God. And yet our society is highlighting that. How sad. They say in their heart, there's really no God. And if there is no God, then morality will change with every generation. But if there is a God who established it in the very beginning, that has not changed. We must be faithful to God. When we are blinded to the fact and the reality of God and we start doubting God, this leads to abominable sins. Wow. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Corrupt are they and have done abominable iniquity. And there is none on their own that doeth good. So as those who know there is a God, then we must be faithful to God. And it's a wise steward that acknowledges and takes advantage of the opportunity to know that there is a God and then to go out and to live as if there is a God and tell others there is a God. That's a faithful to the knowledge that God has provided and the wisdom to say, that's how I'm going to live my life. Faithful and wise concerning the existence of God. We need to be faithful and wise to knowing that we have God's Word. This generation we live in today, this Bible has come under attack more than any other generation in history. And Satan's become a little wiser in how he attacks the Bible. He just wants to water it down. Make you think that you have the Word of God no matter what it says, as long as it says it's a Bible. Watering down the Word of God, taking out some of the translations and some of the Bible, so-called Bibles that people use today, they've taken out the blood because they think that the blood is offensive. They have changed the words and changed the meaning of what God is saying. Listen to me. If there is a God, and we know that there is a God, and He has a plan and a purpose for our life, and as we know that He has a plan and a purpose for our life, how can we not understand that He wants to communicate with us, that He would have His Word written down for us today? He would have a way for us to know Him and to know His will for our lives. And that has to come through the Bible. Amen. Knowing we have the Word of God. Psalms chapter 119, you're there in the book of Psalms. Psalms chapter 119, verse 89. And there's so many verses here, the scriptures that we could go to. I'm just going to share a couple with you here. Psalms chapter 119 and verse 89. All through Psalms 119, it highlights the Word of God. But the Bible says in verse 89, forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven. Forever. I need to just believe that. That God's Word has been settled. Up until the New Testament was fully revealed, then we had to rely on man as priests and prophets of the Old Testaments. And they would be have to hear from God. And as they would hear from God, they would go out and they would reveal what God has said to mankind. And they were certain things that you'd have to look to make sure that this was a true prophet and not a false prophet. And there was guidelines set up for that in the Old Testament. When Jesus came, he was the completion of the Word of God. He brought the understanding of the Old Testament to life in himself. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Word of God was made flesh and dwelt among us. And so he was the revelation of God. He was giving us the understanding of God's will for our lives and God's will for humanity. And he gave us all that God had for us. The complete revelation of God was given to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. And after the apostolic age, the apostles had been given this word, and they had been given the understanding of God's plan for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and God's plan for the New Testament church. And after that, when that which is perfect is come, that which was in part shall be done away with. There's no need for talking and speaking in tongues. There's no need for signs of revealing the presence of God. We have faith in the written down word of God today. Because that which is perfect has come. Jesus Christ was perfect, and he presented to us a perfect word. No need for any of that other. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That's Jesus telling us that. How can we live by it if we don't have it? The obvious answer is we do have it. And God has promised, heaven and earth shall pass away. My word shall never pass away. Every word shall be preserved. Don't let man mess it up. Now we look to the English-speaking people, and we looked, and some people go back to 1611 when King James translated into the English-speaking language. But I look back to this United States of America, where God has planted you and I to live here in this 21st century. And we look back over the history of the United States of America, and when we gained our independence, when God blessed and raised up this nation, the Bible that was being used by those in position in this great nation was this King James Bible. That's what was in government. That's what they would use when you would go to a court of law and have you put your hand upon it. Because the people reverenced it and they feared it. What's changed? Unfaithful. Unwise. Unfaithful to believe what God's given us to believe. Unwise to live the will of God. Yeah, we must be faithful to God's existence. We need to be faithful to knowing that we have His Word. And then lastly, we need to be faithful to His church. I trust you've been here on Sunday morning Sunday school. We're going through and studying what God designed and established through Christ, His church. His church, not man's church. But what God determined to be His church. He designed it and He established it through Jesus Christ. Are we faithful to His church? Not just going to religious service, not just assembling as a crowd, but understanding what a real church truly is and committing ourselves to being a part of the real church, God's church, designed by God, established by Jesus Christ some 2,000 years ago. Hadn't changed. Hadn't changed. This 21st century, yeah, it'd been 2,000 years of Christianity, but it hadn't changed. And how we are to live and how we are to be faithful and wise. First Timothy chapter 3. First Timothy chapter 3. And I'm almost done, so hold on. We're coming to the end, and I trust God will use this to speak to you as we conclude. But First Timothy chapter 3, right after giving the qualifications for the two positions that God designed and established through Christ for the church, pastor, deacon, two different positions. Then he says, but if I tarry long, as Paul is writing to Timothy, if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. Look right here, the pillar and ground of the truth. If you change that, it's no longer the pillar and ground of the truth. If it remains the same, it's always been and always will be the pillar and the ground of the truth. Are we faithful and wise concerning God, His Word, and the church? Can I now give you the key? Something that God established to help us every week to know that we are being faithful and we're trusting in the Lord. It's called tithes and offerings. Yeah. It acknowledges God's ownership of our lives. It acknowledges our belief in the Word of God. That's what the Bible says. It's not what the Baptist Church came up with. It's not something new in this 21st generation that we've just established as far as how we're going to support God's work, the church. It didn't come up in this 21st century. It was established actually in the Old Testament and reestablished by Christ concerning His church. It acknowledges God's ownership of your life. It acknowledges your belief in His Word. It acknowledges your support of His church. It says, you're a faithful and wise steward. And when you do what God says to do, listen to me, the whole purpose, God wants to bless you. Jesus revealed there in the scriptures that He said, I want my people to be blessed. Jesus wanted His disciples to be blessed. And He said, this is how you are blessed by God. You become a faithful and wise steward. And you want to check your own faith. Look at your tithing record. You want to check your own faithfulness and wisdom? Look at how you give. Malachi chapter 3, and we're done. Malachi chapter 3, being faithful and wise. The last of the Old Testament prophets, and what had begun to become a mentality of those that knew God, for whatever reason, they stopped supporting the storehouse. They stopped supporting the worship of God, the service to the Lord. And God says in verse 8, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, but ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You're cursed with a curse, unfaithful, unwise. For you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Verse 10 says this, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now, herewith saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a, what does it say right there? Blessing. The very same blessing that Jesus is talking about and being a faithful and wise steward, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Without fail, those who get involved in deep sin, it had begun with a failure to tithe and to give offerings. You look in your life, if there has been sin in your life that you have come out of, one of the first things that are going to go is the idea of your faithfulness and the wisdom being the steward that God wants you to be. The first thing is you'll try to make excuses on why you can't. You can't not afford to tithe. You can't not afford to give as God would have you to give. Not as a preacher wants you to give, not as anybody else, as God would have you to give, because that is saying, I believe in God, and I'm going to do what God wants me to do. I believe, I'm faithful to God. I know that He's real. I know that His Word is real. And I know that God established His church. And I'm going to be faithful and wise to all three of those. If you believe there's a God, if you want to live for God, there's no other way around that. And when you turn away from that, listen to me, there's no end to what Satan can talk you into. But if you'll be faithful and acknowledging God, His Word, and His church, and you become a faithful and wise steward, listen to me, that will strengthen you to overcome the temptations of this world. And it will position you for the blessings of God. I don't look at the tithing records on a regular basis. I don't do that. I don't want to know. That's between you and the Lord. But when I'm dealing with certain things, when I'm counseling, and I have to know that because that tells me volumes. That reveals so much. And where Satan has got the victory. And without fail, every situation I've dealt with where there has been pornography, where there has been infidelity, where there has been alcohol and drugs, where there has been sin, there was no tithe. And there was no giving. That'll go first. It shows God's ownership of your life, and it reveals faithfulness and wisdom, because it's what God says to do. Blessed are the faithful and the wise stewards. Like every head bowed, every eye closed. Wow. We cannot have faith in something that we have no knowledge of, but once you have the knowledge of it, you're accountable. Once you've had the opportunity to have the knowledge of it, you're accountable. Wisdom is revealed in being faithful to do what you know God would have you to do. Trust in God. Prove Him. See how He works in our lives. Father, we love You. Thank You, Lord God, for the truth of Your Word. And I pray, God, that as we have studied this parable, that we would gain from this that wisdom and understanding that You would have us to receive. Help us to be faithful and wise ourselves. Bless in this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.